I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, this is Ian Lee. Thank you so much for downloading Ian Lee's Random Access Memories, a retro gaming podcast. Do check out the Patreon, patreon.com/IanLee, IAINLEE. And also go to my YouTube channel and look for the Random Access Memories there. Again, it's youtube.com/IanLee. Thanks for downloading.
You don't want to miss the gold.
No one. We don't want to miss the gold. We're diving straight in. So I'm joined by Count Binface. We're on Zoom, but your camera's turned off, and you were just explaining why by using Star Wars.
Well, yes, you know, Star Wars, which, of course, is an excellent documentary about what happened in space a while ago. Quite a while ago, actually.
Long time ago, apparently.
Indeed. Yeah. Not to me, but yes, anyway. And it's a little bit in Empire Strikes Back where old Vader, you just catch a glimpse of what he's like under the old helmet, and it isn't pretty.
It's not nice.
It's not that. And I'm just in one. You've caught me at one of those moments where I've just taken the old lid off. And let's just say, just to save you the embarrassment of seeing what goes on underneath the old lid, I thought I'd go audio only. You know, it's only January. It's Blue Monday. We don't want to push the boat out too much at the start.
It's appreciated. I don't know if you were. Years ago, there was an Earth entertainer called Frank Sidebottom. Do you ever aware of him?
Ah, old Sidey.
Yeah,
I am aware of him, and indeed, I wonder whether my career on Earth might go that way. It's going to go one of two ways, isn't it? Either, you know, I'm going to be some kind of political what you call him, Alan Partridge, a much beloved fictional character, or not?
Yeah.
Not fictional. I'm just joshing with you.
You're real.
Well, I could go the Sidebottom route where nobody really gave a shit who he was until he died. And then, of course, Michael Fassbender jumps in and makes a whole film about him.
Claims all the credit. Yes. I was a big fan of Frank, and the first time I interviewed him, after the interview, he said, "Is that webcam off?" I said, "Yes, it is." And he unscrewed his head and took it off. And no one wanted to see that either. So
really? Oh, wow. What species was Frank?
Big-nosed.
Oh, I didn't know that was an actual species.
It is. We should listen. So welcome to Random Access Memories, retro gaming podcast, Count Binface. Thank you so much for coming on. For those of the few that don't know who you are, do you just want to describe yourself as to who you are, where you're from, and what you do?
Yes, of course. Yeah, well, I mean, as you say, I mean, as if anyone on your planet doesn't know. But no, my name is Count Binface. I am the leader of the Recyclons from planet Sigma 9, and I am also Earth's favourite novelty politician, and currently, officially no less, than London's 9th choice to be mayor. That's right, out of 20 candidates, I finished in the top half. The alien guy beat 11 humans. So if Sadiq Khan and 7 other people got in a minibus and happened to fall off Beachy Head, I'm officially London's mayor. That's democracy.
That is democracy. When the people ahead of you at the election die, you instantly get you instantly get the job. And that's why democracy is so great, such a great thing.
It's in the small print. Nobody knows it, but it's there.
Well, now, there will be some people listening, potentially some of the people that you beat in that election, going, listen, mate, you're not from around here. You don't belong here. Why are you getting involved in not only Earth politics, but British politics?
Well, they could say that to Keir Starmer and Rishi Sunak. I mean, what planet are they from? Unbelievable. Nobody thinks they've got anything in common with those guys, which is why I think I've found the niche, which is that since I arrived on Earth in 2017 CE, when the parties were led by Mrs. May, remember
her?
No, of course you don't. No, she's gone. Yeah.
And, a long time ago.
And Mr. Corbyn, old magic grandpa, I think, yeah, I was the sensible candidate, and I've managed to plough that centre ground ever since, the galactic centre. I'm occupying that because a political speech abhors a vacuum.
Where are you from? Are we allowed to know that?
I've already told you. You got cloth ears. My goodness, I thought you were an experienced broadcaster. Planet Sigma 9, Ian. Sigma Quadrant.
Yep.
And that's my home. And but, you know, I travel around. You know, I'm trying to conquer the entire galaxy and known omniverse. That's my main ambition. But you've got to have a hobby, and that's what brings me to Earth, because I just think democracy's funny. I mean, to me, an alien, democracy is a bit like when a human being stumbles upon a branch of Wimpy. You know? You believe it's there.
It's funny you say that. They've just opened a Wimpy near me in Aylesbury, and I'm going to go and treat myself this week. I've been fantasizing about a Wimpy.
But you know what, Ian? That sounds like green shoots to me. You know, if they're opening Wimpies, maybe that means democracy too has still time to live. Because I see Wimpies as these little things that used to thrive, and now they're just about clinging on. Not as good as they used to be, but you still fancy a bite, like you in Aylesbury. And that is me and democracy. I want to help the humans have another bite.
But it's interesting you use the language of you want to conquer the known universe.
Omniverse, there's more than one.
Excuse me. You want to conquer the omniverse, you're right. Appreciate the correction. But you want to be part of British democracy. Conquering and democracy, they sound like two very, very different things.
Ah, well, that just depends on your perspective, you see. My plan is this. Is what I do, because I think this is fair, is I play by whatever rules of the star system involved. So on Sigma 9, I make the rules so I can do what I want, so I can conquer away. On Earth, you guys have democracy, so at the moment, in the United Kingdom. So I play by your rules, and I think that's quite fun. So, you know, I'm just taking you on at your own game. But conquering's the game, and I'll be there.
People have a lot of affection for you on this planet. What's that like? You know, there are a lot of big names that think you're great, think you're a breath of fresh air. Don't know if you have fresh air on Sigma 9. But what's that like to actually get a lot of votes and a lot of people welcome you into politics?
It's been very gratifying, actually, Ian, from people like your good self. And I've had celebrities like Rory Stewart and Gary Lineker and the like, and Emily Maitlis, fantastic journalist, all kinds of people. But, you know, for me, every human being is equal. And the number of votes I have secured so far on your planet is a truly humbling figure. I mean, in London, I got 92,986 votes. That's not a joke. That's actually how many votes to be leader has Rishi Sunak got? A big fat zero. Or it should be a little fat zero in his case. But you know what I mean? I think that says a lot.
92,000. That is a lot. That's incredible. You should be very proud of that.
I am proud. I'm also, it does actually fill me with some sorrow, because I'll let you into a secret. There's going to be a new London mayoral race this year, which I'm hoping to stand for, you know. But you have to, firstly, you have to raise 10,000 quid
at
the deposit. It's a rip-off.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So I'm asking these lovely humans. In fact, any listeners out there, I am doing a GoFundMe. So if you can reach into your pocket, say, give me a few pennies, that'd be lovely, so I can take on these bastards. But anyway, that's by the by. I wasn't coming on just for the old, can rattle. My concern is that at the last election, there was a two-choice voting system, AV, which meant that the lovely Earth voters could safely vote for Khan Binface first, and then, you know, whatever, have a little protest vote for Sadiq Khan second.
Yeah.
But this time, without consulting the people of London, they've changed it.
Oh, have they?
It's first past the post, one vote
No.
only. They have, which makes me think that it would be tricky, not impossible, but tricky to match my 92,000 votes. But, you know, I'm going to play the game, but I think the game sticks. A bit like VAR. They've ruined it.
Just think, though, if every one of those 92,000 people gave you 50p, I don't know what that would be. I'm not very good at maths, but that would be more than enough to pay the 10 grand's a lot of money. I didn't know it was that lot. That
it
much.
It is. It makes, you know, standing for an MP is a relative bargain at 500 quid. And I'll tell you something, the one which nobody knows about, in the middle of those two figures, I do like to look for juicy political opportunities wherever they're found. And the other year, there was an opportunity to be mayor of, can you believe it, Croydon. Now, I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
I thought that was just the level of stupid position that didn't need to exist, that people might actually vote me in. But you know what? To stand for that 5,000 quid in.
Oh, that's not good.
Bloody
that's
ripple. Good. They're trying to fill the hole in the budget, just though people like me.
What we will do, what I will do, there's no one else here. I will put the, is it GoFundMe you're using? I will put the GoFundMe link in the video. And if you're listening to the podcast, I'll also put it in the text of the podcast. If you can chuck in a couple of quid. It's Democracy Manifest. It would be great. I don't really like getting political on this. This is one of those, you know, shows we just talk about old video games. However, I think it is important. What are some of your policies running for London mayor?
Excuse me. Well, you want a little scoopy. Well, I'm not going to give you my full 2024 manifesto until I'm...
not going to give me a scoopy. No scoopy.
Keep my powder dry. Yeah, the scoopy's going to have to wait, but... You know, I'm happy to share with your listeners some of my greatest hits.
Please do.
Which, of course, are renaming London Bridge after Phoebe Waller. Yeah? That'll increase the tourism. What would it cost? Nothing. Boris Johnson spaffed, his own words, 48 million quid on a garden bridge that doesn't exist. Yeah. All I'm saying, change a little bit of signage, give a little bit of joy to Phoebe. Everyone's a winner. So there's that one. Reintroduction of CFAX, obviously, within the M25. And also, and the number one, do you know what? The one that absolutely everyone couldn't get enough of. I shall price cap croissants at £1 to combat inflation. How about that?
Croissants are well expensive, isn't it?
Why? Why? It's not just Rishi's fault or even Liz Clustertrass. No. There's something going on and old Binny needs to come. In fact, I'll let you into a secret.
Yeah.
Apparently, you read around the interweb, the Tories are genuinely, at this point, not that they'll be in for long, but are considering a bit of price capping to sort the supermarkets out as well. So, actually, yet again, bin face ahead of the curve.
What was it like growing up on your home planet?
It's an interesting place, Sigma 9. It's a lot better when you run the place. So I have to say that was quite fun. The recyclones are intriguing, life forms in that they're quite pliable if they have been given enough sigmoid wine, you know what I mean? So, all I had to do was reach enough an age where I had enough money to just basically, you know, buy them off with booze. And it kind of worked.
Wow. That was
the plan. And then, you know, we had to conquer the whole Sigma system. And then we had a bit of a spat with Sigma 10, you know? They right. wanted to leave the Sigma system, the Sigma Union, it was called. And we said, no, you should remain. Much better. Be together and we can all look after each other. They said, no, we want to go our own way. And they had a vote on it, right? And can you believe it? 52% of Sigma 10 decided to leave the Sigma Union and went, okay, that's up to you. So what happened was we decoupled them from the orbit of our solar system and off they went. On their own, into deep space, their planet with no sun to heat them. I mean, Sigma 10 is now an inhospitable nightmare with a crumbling GDP and potholes and trains that don't work and all the rest of it. But they've got their sovereignty back, so good on them.
And that's what it's all about. That's what it's
exactly.
all about. Were video games, computer games, arcade games, were they a part of your childhood on Sigma 9?
Not really. We don't have that kind of sort of... time-wasting activity on our planet because, we're more of a sort of sort out the planet first,
right?
Sit around playing GTA in your pants later. That's our kind of vibe.
Okay.
But that's one of the reasons why I've loved coming to Earth, because I love your, your the other way around that you guys have got it. Let's sit in the pants and do a bit of Minecraft and worry about solving global hunger later. Well, good for you. And so I've learned a lot about video games in the last 7 or so Earth years that I've been popping around to your planet.
Well, the point of this podcast is I invite a guest on to look at talk about a retro game that means something to them. I never define the term retro. I have my own definition, but I never, say it's up until this year or it's up until this machine. And I don't know what game you are talking about today, Count. So what is it? What have you brought?
Well, just before I get into that, just for the benefit of my listeners on Sigma 9, I'd love to hear what your definition of retro is, because I think we'd all be interested. So do tell us.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Me?
Yes. You said you've got your own definition. What is it?
Okay, my definition is, and I couldn't put a year to it because I've not looked it up, but I would say the Wii and PlayStation 3 are retro.
Wow, that's pretty recent.
Well, it's not. It's not though. It's quite a long time ago.
We're talking about Star Wars. That's a long time ago.
That for me, I would consider retro. If someone were to crack open the PS3, I would consider that a retro console. And that there'll be a lot of people listening getting very angry at that. A lot of the retro people can be quite loud. But yeah, I would consider that retro, I think.
Well, that's good to know. Well, then the little gem that I've got for you in this episode certainly does count.
Go on.
Pun intended, of course. And I'm going to take you back to the heady year of 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is before I invaded planet Earth. That was 2017. Before I invaded, I wanted to do my research, Ian.
Yeah.
And I thought, what I'll do is if I want to take part in elections, I should analyze the most sophisticated election prediction systems that human beings had ever created.
Yeah.
Beyond all others, including even Peter Snow's Swingometer, it took me to a video game called Election for the Sinclair ZX Spectrum produced by Mastertronic. Are you aware of this masterpiece?
I'm aware of Mastertronic. Of course, we know the Spectrum. I don't know the game Election. I can hazard a guess as to what happens, but do you want to talk me through it?
I do, and I will. And I'll tell you what.
Thank you.
I've done my bloody research. I'm holding a copy right here.
Okay, we only have your word for it.
The cassette. Listen to that. Yeah, what wonderful Earth technology this is.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It says on the box here, Election, the aim of the game, you have been nominated to defend, so that you're already an MP, defend the parliamentary seat of Pendle. Choose your manifesto. You then have 10 days, £5,000, and any donations, Tories, you may collect along the way, with which to run your campaign. Full instructions are included in the program.
Okay.
And of course, the best instruction at all, it says on the box here, it says loading instructions. Load, enter. Brilliant. But what it doesn't tell you, of course, on the Sinclair Spectrum, is that it only loads about 10% of the bloody time. As a classic Sinclair Spectrum thing, as I've discovered. But of course, I would say that is a wonderful metaphor for post-Brexit Britain. You can't get the damn thing started. So it's already an excellent predictor of modern Britain. But anyway, Let's get into the game. I guess you want to know what actually happens.
I do want to know. It's not a game I've heard of. It's the kind of thing I would have been how old would I have been then? I'd have been 10 and 11 in that year. And yes. Something like election, that would not appeal to me. So tell me about it now.
Well, I mean, God knows how many human beings it did appeal to. I think that's part of the fascination. But this is what I find amazing, is that it was actually quite an impressive election simulator. So, you know, first of all, you have to choose your party, which could be Labour, Alliance, which shows it's a bit dated, or Conservative, which shows it's extremely dated, right? And then once you've done that, you have to choose your manifesto. I mean, I just think this is an amazing idea for a computer game, don't you? And if you think that's good, what about the kind of things you are allowed to put in your manifesto? I'm gonna read you out some of these, okay?
Yep.
See what you think of these. They start kind of sensible, and then they go somewhere else. Here we go.
Okay.
Page 2, 8, leave the common market. Well, that's prescient, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah. When was this, 1984?
1984.
That's amazing. Incredible.
For the spectrum. Now, number 9, unilateral disarmament. One for the Corbyn fans.
That was very popular in the 80s, wasn't it? Green and Common and stuff.
As was number 10, it's obviously a hangover from Michael Foot. Nationalise key industries. As if that's going to happen. Look at Keir. He's rubbing his hands with glee. No chance. 11, yes. Increase public spending. 12, pay policy with the unions. Well, that's pertinent right now.
Yeah.
But at number 13, well numbered, control the police force. Fuck me. What's that about? Computer game? And they're saying that you, as a sitting MP, want to control the police force. That's pretty scary, wouldn't you say?
That's a big... Controlling the police force is a heavy thing. What? So making the whole police force bent?
But, or more bent, depending on your point of view.
Benter, you know? Yes.
Like
okay.
Space, yeah, the police force is curved, indeed.
Yep.
And and then number 14, abolish the House of Lords, which is even more mental. Given the state of politics, but it is in my manifesto. I will abolish them on day one. Wipe them out, I say. All of them. Absolutely. So anyway, that's pretty cool for a starter, wouldn't you say?
I think that is really interesting. And it kind of hearing you read that out actually makes me feel a little bit sad that 40 years later, the same things are being talked about and about being are being considered. We're never going to learn, are we?
Hey, but what about this? That's one thing that's sad. What's sadder? Is that Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft haven't jumped on this and made their rebooted version of Election, right?
Yeah.
Kids in the 80s had their chance to get involved. Interactivity. Lovely. Whereas now, what are they all doing? They're all playing, you know, Fortnite and all that shit.
I wonder if that's part of the reason that, you know, there is a political apathy amongst people sort of under the age of 35, I would suggest, as a generalization. I'm wondering if a game like Election, I'd love to know how many it sold, but if a game like Election, you go downstairs Christmas morning, you're 9 years old, and oh, there's a cassette I've got. Oh, it's Election. But you'd play it because that was the only cassette you'd got that year. And I wonder if it did make people... God, I wonder if people, you know, if Boris Johnson played it.
That's, I doubt he would have had the brain power to load it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But the thing is, on the front cover of this wonderful game is it looks like a sort of marble game of two marbles, and they're trying to get to the door of number 10. And you sort of think, oh, wow, is it going to be a bit like Pac-Man with a political... No, nothing like that. It's just an analytical predictive game. But we haven't really got into the meat of it yet, Ian.
Let's get the carving equipment out and dig in.
Absolutely, get your electoral carving knife out. And but once you've chosen your manifesto, it gets even more interesting. You get to take part in town meetings. Isn't that exciting?
Yes,
it is. And you can be asked questions about things like taxation and public health. Just imagine that 12-year-old sitting there on Christmas Day with his black and white TV by the fireplace and playing this instead of Manic Miner or Jet Set Willy. What a poor bastard. But this is more important, as I'm sure you would say.
Is that the meat? Is that the end of the meat?
No, I was just giving you a chance to come in there.
Well, I'm just thinking, that you're right, a 10-year-old's going like, Mom, what's taxation? It's not, you know, it's... Would this classify? I had a BBC Micro because it was educational.
Chunky.
Yeah, very chunky. Cost a fortune. It was like 400 quid or something when we got ours. But we did get Daredevil Dennis with it for free. Would you consider this game educational?
Absolutely, I would. Right. But this is getting the kids engaged in politics. And it is telling you it's a game. More than ever, I would say to you, that and more politicians than ever are involved in politics for the game element. If you ever turn up in Westminster and undercover, I'll let your listeners know I've been there. You do get a sense that to these people, it doesn't really matter, that they don't have the same problems that the average voter does in terms of the cost of living crisis or anything like that. Schools, trains, you name it. They don't. It doesn't affect them. They've got a juicy salary. And so it is a game. And so I think this game teaches kids about politics better than most things. And in fact, I'll give you some more proof. The next bit, right? Once you've done your town meeting, you get to, and this is lovely, you can ask the computer to analyze the voting intentions of each street in the constituency.
Okay.
Quite cool. And it shows you the different types of houses. And as it goes through, there's one street called Tory Way, right? Which is full of detached houses, and they're all blue because they're going to vote Conservative. Funny that. Do you know what the street with the high-rise blocks is called?
I bet it's called something like Poverty Lane or something.
Keep going.
The Common Man Grove.
Keep going.
It's not going to say scum, is it?
It's called The Pits. Literally called The Pits. High-rise blocks. And I think that says a lot about Thatcher's Britain, don't you?
Yes, it does. It really does.
More than Daredevil Dennis, even though that, of course, was her husband.
Did you ever win the game? Did you ever beat it?
No, because, of course, even when I've tried to play it on my supercomputer, because it mimics perfectly a Sinclair Spectrum, it never actually plays long enough for you to get through the game without it crashing.
Right.
But then that's Spectrum's for you, and that's part of the fun, right? Back in the day, kids playing those computers, I'm sure BBC Micro is a little bit more sturdy, I would say, but on a Spectrum, you never expected to play it long enough to finish the damn game. You're lucky enough if it started in itself. And I say yet again, that's an excellent lesson for kids, right?
Yeah.
You should be thankful for what you got.
Did you say you'd been to Parliament undercover?
Yes.
How do you do that? Do you like wear a balaclava over the bin? Obviously I don't give away too much, but what is undercover for you?
Well, I don't do that, but that's a good point, because if the producers of The Masked Singer are listening to your podcast, that is exactly what I would do. That I would love it. I'd love it. Celebrity Masked Singer, and that underneath another costume is me in my full bin regalia. That would be good. But no, in Parliament, I just use a cloaking device, Ian. Easy.
What would you sing on The Masked Singer? What song would you do?
I would sing, I think I would sing Camouflage by Stan Ridgway.
Wow. And
I'll tell you why. Because even though I'm a huge fan of Chris Rea, he's my favourite,
yeah,
I think Camouflage is a longer song, and so far, and I'd get to hog the screen time for longer.
Yeah,
and it's got a belting chorus. Haven't it?
Camouflage is about the soldier in Vietnam, is it?
Yeah, but it's a spoiler. I won't tell a spoiler. It's sort of, yes, that's right. Yes.
Oh, okay, right. Well, I think I don't think you can spoil a 40-year-old song.
All right, it's a soldier who meets a ghost. Spoiled, done. Shall I do the traitors as well? I tell you what happened.
No, don't, because I've never... No, don't.
I better not do that. No.
I've never seen the traitors. What was I going to say? Oh, do you talk about Chris Rea? I don't know if you saw this, if they had this on Sigma 9. There used to be a TV program called... what was it called? Stars in Your Eyes. Stars in Their Eyes.
I can't tell you with that much. I need more than that.
Stars in Their Eyes, right? Or Stars in Your Eyes.
Yes, and we get Stars in Our Eyes up in Sigma 9.
And it was Matthew Kelly would host it, and there was this short lad, and he's chatting, right? So who are you going to be? Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to... hang on, which Chris did you say you like? De Burr or Rhea?
Interesting that they form the same part of your brain power, that De Burr can Rhea are filed in that same category. 80s crooner. But no, my one is Rhea. The one.
Okay, well, the story doesn't work because the story was this guy.
I'll do it anyway. I still want to know.
All right.
I love a bit of DeBerg as well.
Okay.
Yes, human feet in red. Bring it on.
He said, who are you going to be? I'm going to be Chris DeBerg. And he came out and he looked and sounded exactly like Chris DeBerg. And he was so much like Chris DeBerg. He got through to the final. And in the final, Chris DeBerg had recorded a video saying, excellent work, fake Chris DeBerg. I hope you win. And he won. And then Chris DeBerg took fake Chris DeBerg on tour. And in the middle of the concert, they sang a duet with each other. That's insane, yeah. Right?
I love it. I love it. It's like cloning technology writ large. That's beautiful. I'd love the idea that you could have a whole army of DeBergs marching through the O2 in London, scaring people. That'd be good.
I'm a big fan of rock groups like Kiss, and Kiss obviously got the makeup on. And if you go to a Kiss concert, you'll see little kids with like 6-year-old kids with the makeup on. And I'm wondering if when you're canvassing, you see little kids with, you know, like pedal bins on their head.
Well, not when I'm canvassing, usually, because I just go out in the world. So any kid that's got a pedal bin out in the world when I'm canvassing, that would just be that just requires the fire brigade, not me.
Right.
But actually, funny you say that. I have to say, and I've got a human website, which you can have a look at, countbinface.com. And on there, I've got a little gallery, right, of fans. And they send in pictures of themselves and not just children. But adults and amazingly, a lot of cats. Don't quite get it, but yes, they all put bins on their heads and they love it. So you know, I love seeing humans get involved and become like little mini me's. It's very, very gratifying, and hopefully a bit like V for Vendetta. Come election day, we'll all march to Parliament Square with our bins on our heads and take them down.
I do genuinely think it's great that you have taken an interest in human politics and you settle for Britain, because politics has been such a depressing affair, you know, for the last 13-14 years. It's been so depressing, and it's just got worse and worse and worse, and it's miserable. And I could see why some people wouldn't go and vote, because what's the point? It won't count, not where I am, it's so boring, they're all liars, whatever. And you, all politicians are liars, and you, it's not necessarily my thoughts, it's the guy that used to wave the stick. But you've got people back into the polling booths. You've had a huge influence in getting people interested in politics again.
That's very, very kind of you, I have to say. Like, I mean, I don't know. I couldn't possibly say if that's true. I wouldn't be so bold as to, I mean, I'm bold enough to say I'm going to conquer the Omniverse, but I wouldn't be bold enough to say that I'm the thing that's taken any one particular voter to the polling booth. I'd love to think that's true. But I also wonder if, you know, I'm a spoiled ballot with a smile, if you know what I mean. Because, you know, I think some voters are a little bit disillusioned. And, you know, they you could look at my manifesto and think, actually, you know what? Doubling council tax for people with second homes, turning empty royal palaces into refuges for the homeless. He's actually got his bins screwed on, this lad. And I'm just maybe telling it as it is at a time when the Labour Party don't say anything at all because they don't want to ruin their poll lead. And whatever the Tories say, they ask things up even more. So, I think you're right. I mean, the Liberal Democrats.
The who now, sorry?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. So, and the SNP are imploding up in Scotland. So I think people are ready for something different. And I'm happy to provide it. And that's the beauty of the London mayor election is I can appeal to, 8 million voters. Whereas a single constituency, you've only got the local population to talk to. So, yes, you know, I bring it on. And I am so gratified you say that and that you think that. And if any listener does feel that I'm helping the political debate, then that makes me very happy. And I tell you what. Not to get too serious about it, because that's clearly not my job. But isn't it wonderful that even in the 2020s, that Britain has a democracy robust enough that an idiot can get up on stage dressed like a complete nutter with a bin on his head and take part in democracy? I think it's wonderfully British, and it's wonderfully, wonderfully sort of a sort of redemption for British democracy that we still have that sort of irony And we can laugh at ourselves. It's so important. It's what makes democracy wonderful, I think, and what makes Britain wonderful.
I think you're right. You know, I'm old enough. You've probably observed it from Sigma 9 to remember screaming Lord Such, who at the time, when I was like a kid and a young man, I think, who's that idiot? But now looking back, I keep thinking, who's that legend? Imagine that. Just the, well, you don't need to imagine it. That's the life that you're living.
Yes, well, Lord Such, old Such, a real trailblazer for what I do. And, you know, a true a record holder as well, which, you know, I'll do well to overtake his number of elections, because he went all over the place, didn't he?
Yeah.
And obviously he was a lord, so, you know, nobody's perfect. But he did a fantastic job. I think, you know, the odd monster raving loonies, you know, they're still existing, but I don't think any of them would even suggest that they've got the same sort of charisma or pulling power as old Suchy. He really did start things off nicely.
I've got one more question about the politics, right? So when the results are getting read out, you're all stood up on the stage, right?
Yeah.
The good, the bad, the indifferent, the weird, the really bad. What is that like, standing up with, you know, some really kind people and some really, really nasty people? What's it like standing up there with them?
Well, you're absolutely right. There's quite a spectrum, and not to pun on the computer system we've been talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Let's not go too much into the personalities.
No, we don't need to mention certain names. We know who we're talking about.
Indeed. Some you've heard of and some you haven't. And it's, I'll tell you, even the world of novelty politics has become very dirty indeed. I'm sure you're aware of the whole Buckethead fiasco.
Yeah.
When I had to change names. Yes. Well, let's not go into that now, except to say, my revenge will be sweet, and it's coming. But I will simply say that sometimes, Ian, the experience on the stage is different to others. And I'll tell you why. When I've stood for an election before in 2017, 2019, and 2021, little bit of a scoop for your listeners, they actually tell the candidates how they've done before you go up on the stage.
I did not know that.
Yes, it's got a spoiler. It's a bit like the Hootenanny not being on New Year's Eve. Yeah, I don't want to destroy the magic, but when old Portillo looks all crestfallen and does that moment, he's like, he already knew, matey.
Wow.
Yeah. But strangely, when I stood in the Uxbridge by-election in 2023, which, by the way, I was the only one of the candidates from 2019 who said they'd stand for the length of a parliament, including Mr. Johnson, to stand again in the by-election. So literally, I was the only candidate there who kept his word. I was the continuity candidate. I got 190 votes for my treble. But they didn't tell us who had won until we were up on the stage itself. And so that was quite scary because, you know, for me, I haven't got the best visibility in the world anyway. And you're trying to work out where you've come in the old election. And it was a complete shock to me. But to have increased my vote by 275% in a mere 4 years, well, you know, as you can imagine, I was doing mental cartwheels.
Listen, thank you so much, Count Binface, for coming on. I think you are an important force in politics. I think, you know, you doing what you do is great, and it makes the world, you know, the world is pretty miserable at the moment, and you add a little bit of colour and some sparkles just when we need it. I really, really hope you raise that £10,000. I will put the GoFundMe link in the video description. I'll put it in the podcast description. And what was your website again?
My website is simply countbinface.com.
Brilliant.
Nice and simple, that one.
Brilliant.
And I just want to say thank you, Ian, because I think you're fantastic. I love your podcast. I love everything you do. I think you're a radio star as well. You've done wonderful things over the years. You should be very proud. And it's lovely, this little show you've got. And I'd happily talk about other... I've got some other games up my space sleeve as well, which we could talk about. Other ones that just missed the cut. I do love human video games. So anytime you want to talk games, love it.
I tell you what, when we're nearer the election, because this isn't radio, so we can do stuff like this. You're nearer the election, why don't we get you on to bring up another game?
I'd love that. I've got one right up my sleeve, ready to tell you as soon as you want.
All right. So nice to meet you. I'm a really big fan, and thank you for the kind words.
Honestly, it's a pleasure, and a merry, merry 2024 to all you humans, and especially you, Ian. Have a good one.
Don't forget you can support the show, get the show early, get the videos early, and listen to the show ad-free by signing up to my Patreon, patreon.com/IanLee, patreon.com/IanLee. If you want your name mentioned, you join the Commodore 64 tier. The people that have done that, Harsh Thing, Sam Hughes, Craig Hannon. I always hesitate with Craig because he's listed as Beastie Boy, but I want to get his name in. Martin Warren, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you want to be an executive producer, you sign up to the BBC Micro Model B. Some people would argue that the Commodore's better than the BBC. The BBC was more expensive, more exclusive. So these are this episode's executive producers. Tim Nichols, Mark Gidley, thank you, thank you, thank you. And, of course, Matt Stanley Evans, who was there from day one. Thank you very much indeed, all of you. It is appreciated. Got some good guests coming up. Thanks for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.